Yeah, God, we believe for it. That was Cece Winans, God, we believe for it. Well, I just want to say welcome to CCFM 107.5 to the Harvest Table. My name is Pastor Marianne Prinsler, and it is my absolute privilege to host the Harvest Table today, the last and final episode of the Harvest Table. We've just been through a month of Women's Month. Obviously, we celebrated a full month long. Women, you know, we always have to be over the top. So today is the last, it's the last day of August as well. And I hope that you have really, truly enjoyed being seated at the table for the last 4 weeks. And you enjoyed the time spent with our amazing host and the remarkable guest that was in the studio, if you've tuned in regularly. And wow, what a journey it was. As I was looking back over the past sessions, over the past month, and I was looking at episode one where it was Odile Swartz that was hosting it, and she was talking about Bring It to the Cross. Episode two with Natasha Kumalo with the Book of Esther, where they just opened the Book of Esther and were talking about the Book of Esther. Episode three was Naomi, Pastor Naomi Klassen with I Am Enough. Episode 4 was Zanele with Hold Your Crown. And today it is my privilege to open the conversation around, yes, a very different topic. And the theme and the topic today is your loss, heaven's gain, the loss of a child. And it's going to be a deep one today, a very, very deep one. And I want you to know that God has actually prepared, if you've tuned in today, that God has prepared a seat at this table, at this harvest table for you this afternoon. And if you're out there and you're a mother that have lost a child, then you're more than welcome to come and just sit at our table. A mother, a grandmother, an aunt. Yeah, if you are a woman and you've lost a child that was very dear to you, you're very, very welcome to come and sit at the table today. As we're going to open up the conversation and we're going to talk about this very heavy topic, and yeah, it's going to take a lot of strength and courage for us today to be able to actually just dig into this a little bit. And I would just want to say a welcome to my special guest that I have with me in the studio today, here in studio in Musenberg, that is seated at the table with us today, Cassandra Boysen. I just want to say welcome, welcome, Cassandra. So I did put the mic on, so if you want to also just jump in there and just say hi to the listeners.
Hi, everybody. Hi, listeners.
And so obviously Cassandra is the wife of Kevin Boysen from the renowned gospel group Dumisani, and she's also a gospel singer herself. So I'm sure that you are familiar with the beautiful gospel music and the lekker pinkster koorkies, Markom toe, Markons toe, Markus toe, onder die blit. And yeah, so today I'm really fortunate to have you here with me in the studio, Cassandra, as we are going to just, you know, open up the conversation about the loss of a child. And both of us, as we are sitting here today, both of us are speaking from experience, and from that scar deep inside of us of what it was losing a child. And as I was driving here today, and me and my husband were having the conversation and we were just chatting, and he said, yeah, it's actually because I know that your son was 19.
18 at the time, yes.
18 at the time when he passed. And that was the same age what my son was when he passed, also 18. So not knowing, I mean, today is the first time that I've actually met you. Yes. But here we are, two women with exactly the same pain that we went through, the same heartache and trauma and loss, not knowing one another. And sometimes we can feel alone. We can feel it's only us that is actually experiencing that. Only us going through that pain and that loss. And today God has really, you know, orchestrated our paths to be in the same place at the same time with the same story. Maybe a little bit different, and we'll speak into that as well a little bit as we just chat about it. But so please don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for Harvest Table today, and you are going to be blessed. I want to say that, going to be blessed today, as we are going to just have a lovely deep conversation. I want to play a song for you before we're going to start chatting. So I just want to play this song from Demi Lee Moore and Rian Benardi, There Was Jesus. Sometimes when it feels like we are all alone out there, and we're going through the things in life, and it feels like it's too much, and we're not going to make it, and we sometimes we can wonder if Jesus is really out there. But this beautiful song just reminds us that there was Jesus. Sometimes it feels like we are all alone, and that Jesus is not with us. But when we look back, and I always think about that beautiful quote or poem of Footprints, is when you look back and then you can actually see that there's only one set of footprints, and you think, where it was only you, and it was Jesus carrying you in the most difficult circumstances. So today we are talking about a very, very difficult topic: your loss, heaven's gain, the loss of a child. And I know sometimes it is, a quote that people would use and say, it is heaven's gain and it's your loss. And maybe at the time it's very difficult to actually even comprehend that, because the death and loss of a child are frequently called the ultimate tragedy that can happen in the life of a family or in a family's life. And today we are going to speak about the scars of losing a child. Now, I've lost my son also when he was 18. He just turned 18 in December. He turned 18 and in the April he passed away. And he was in a freak accident. He was first year varsity, first semester at varsity, and he fell off a skateboard. And he actually had internal bleeding in his inside of his brain. So they couldn't do anything. And I can still remember, it was so devastating, actually, when we got the call, because we were in Cape Town. He was in PE, and he was at varsity in PE. And when we got it, was on a Sunday night. And we got the call that this accident happened, not knowing actually what really happened. And just that feeling of, getting that call, not knowing, and me and my husband decided, okay, we're going to just get into the car, and we're going to take our other two boys, they were like 2 and 3 at the time. And we're just going to drive up to PE, because it's 8 hours still, and when we got there, he was already in a coma, and he actually, he never woke up. And, it was a whole week, and they declared him brain dead. So it was so devastating that I can still to this day actually feel, and this is 21 years ago. So he was going to be 39, turning 39 this year. It's such a long time already if you think about it in years, but for us it feels like it was maybe only yesterday. And when we think about, when I still think about it, I still think along with the symptoms and the stages of grief, that many, that is, there's a lot of issues actually with parental bereavement, particularly because it's difficult to solve and to resolve, because it is something that was so unforeseen, and the grief over the loss of a child can be so complicated because of feelings of injustice, that you, the understandable feeling that we know that this loss should never have happened. Mm. And that you it is just something that came unforeseen, you know, and it happened with us. It happened so quickly because it was an accident. And then that was that whole week that you had to go through. So you were still praying, mm. hoping for a miracle. Yes. And that God would come through. And then in the end, you know, that did not happen. And, you know, that also that leave that question marks. Yes. Because of, as I said, that feelings of injustice is why, you know, this is just a child. Why? And it's my child. Oh, why? And I'm sure if I have to ask you, Cassandra, to also just share with us, you know, what happened, and also maybe you also experienced that feeling of injustice of, you know, with the why question at the time of the process that you went through. Because as I said, we're going through this different stages of grief. Yes. That is, grief is grief because we all go through grief. But I think there's just something so really different to a child losing a child, you know, when a parent lose a child. Yes. So let's just chat a little bit into that. Your mic is on.
Okay. So what happened? In 2022, my son that's not with us anymore, his name is Jalen. So he started coughing. So he had this cough and we thought that it's maybe just flu or something. But in that same year, that was the year that he was in matric. Mm. So that was his matric year. And in that same year, I had an accident with my baby. I fell pregnant in my 40s. So to me, it was, Lord, I still need to sleep. Yeah. Where's my sleep going to disappear to now that I'm going to have with this child? And I've got four boys. Okay. Yes. So at the time, I had the three boys. Mm. And I was saying, God, if you want me to be pregnant in my 40s, this better be a girl. But God knew the future.
Yes.
And he blessed me with another boy. Oh. So I was having this boy on my arm and we just came from a singing engagement. And that same night I fell and I hurt my ankle. I broke my ankle. My ankle got broken in three different places. Yeah. So this was in 2022.
Yes.
So that was basically the same time that he was writing his final exams. So now Jalen is a twin.
Mm.
He's one of a twin. And they were writing their final exams and he was so concerned about me. My ankle is broken and he now needs to look after me.
Yes.
And it's his matric exams. And he was very concerned about me and not concentrating on his cough. We were more concentrating on my ankle that is not, it's the ankle is broken.
Yes.
So now he's still coughing and he's done with his matric exams. I don't know how he actually went through his matric exams. And I've noticed that he's losing weight and I'm telling him, Jalen, mustn't we take you to the doctor? No, mommy, I'm fine. I'm fine. Don't worry about me. And he's now more concerned about my ankle. He doesn't want me to concentrate on his coughing. And mind you, the coughing went away for a while. And everybody that knows me knows that I'm a very outgoing person.
Yes.
So if my ankle was right, I would have forced him to go to the doctor, irrespective if he told me that
he was okay.
He was okay.
Yes.
And he was hiding it from us. So then his stomach started acting up and we were concentrating and treating him on for the stomach and not for the cough.
Mm.
And then he would cough and he would do that without us even hearing and he would hide it away from us. And then I saw him getting so, so thin. And I asked him, Jalen, mustn't we take you to the doctor? No, mommy. I'm going to tell you when you must take me to the doctor. Still the person that he was, very concerned over other people. And he just adored his mother.
Mm.
So to him it was, no, let's concentrate on you instead of concentrating on me. And So the time went on, January, February, he started at CPUT. He did IT at CPUT. Mm-hmm. Oh, and he was so happy to do that. Then he would come back home and he would tell me, "Mommy, you know what? I was out of breath when I walked because he did it in Tigerberg's branch."
Yes.
So there's like a steep, it's uphill. And then he would tell me, "Mommy, I was out of breath of walking." Then I would tell him, "Maybe you're just unfit, man. Maybe it's something to do with you being unfit."
Mm.
Because you hardly even walk. You lay in front of the TV most of the time. And in April, we went to go and fetch him at the bus stop. And then because he was using public transport, and then we went to go fetch him at the bus stop, and a friend of ours saw him, and she didn't see him in a while, and to her, she was taken by the fact that he's so thin.
Mm.
That same day, we went to the butcher, and my mother-in-law stays opposite the butcher, and him being the person that he is, ran over to his grandmother's house, went to go greet, and she was sitting in front, and she said to him, "Jalen, you are very thin. Don't you think you must go to the doctor?" And now with that request, he gave in. And she said, "I'm going to pay for everything. You must go to the doctor." And then he went to the person that we saw earlier the day. And when he got to her house, she also said, "Jalen, don't you think you must go to the doctor?" And she also said, "Yes. I'm going to pay. Don't worry." And then he agreed to go to the doctor. Went to the doctor. Long story short, found out that he's actually got TB.
And
that's the reason why I got so thin.
Yes.
He started his treatment and he was doing very well on his treatment. He was actually doing very well. And just before the 6 weeks, and I remember the 2 weeks he can't be in contact with anyone.
Yes.
And his 2 weeks was done. And then after that, it's the first 6 weeks. And then the treatment is for 6 months.
Yes.
So he was quite into his treatment. And he still told me, "Mommy, oh, my treatment is only going to be done in November. The first week in November, that's still long." So I told him, "No, man, don't count the days. Just do what you're supposed to do. And before you even know it, it's going to be over."
Yes.
And then one day I remember this one night he was coughing so much, and I was thinking, is this coughing back now? Because I remember he was doing well on the treatment, so the cough was there, but it wasn't that frequent anymore. And this one Saturday evening, he was coughing so much, and then the Sunday morning in the early hours, he came to come fetch the humidifier, and I'm praying in my room, and I'm saying, "God, please just help this child." And then I stood up and he said to me, "Oh, Mommy, I didn't sleep the whole evening." And I said to him, "No, don't worry. I'm going to put on rain music and YouTube."
Yes.
That rain music on YouTube. And then the humidifier was on and I started praying with him. And he said to me, he's going to try to sleep now, but he's going to go to church. And just to fast forward now, that morning, he said to me, to my mother stays with me because my father also passed away 3 years ago. So my mother stays in the house with me and she's one of my heroes. And he told her that we need to pray for him now.
Mm.
So we started praying for him, and me and my mother started praying for him. When we were done praying, he burst out in tears. And he said, "God just told him now he's going to be okay." And to me, I didn't know that was going to be the last Sunday that he was going to be at home.
Yeah.
So the afternoon, the evening side, we rushed him to hospital because he said he couldn't breathe and he was crying.
Yes.
Told me, "I can't breathe, Mommy." And long story short, we ended up in Groteskee Hospital and he was in ICU. He was incubated and he didn't make it. They said that he had influenza A on top of the TB, and the TB made holes in his lungs.
Yeah.
It's almost like air holes it made in his lungs, and Groteskee had so much hope for him. And as you said, you prayed for that whole week. Now this was an event from the Sunday that he was hospitalized, and he passed on the 1st of June 2023. It's only a year and a few months. And Groteskee had hope for him because of his age. They said that because of his age, the chances that he will make it is high.
Yes.
So that's why they took him on into the ICU.
Mm.
And so from the Sunday till the Thursday, it was everybody that we knew, we asked them to just pray with us. And we had so much hope. We had so much hope that God is going to bring this child out.
Yes.
And we, the Thursday morning, we packed the bag because someone told us we must pack his bag, his hospital, a bag for him to come home.
Yes.
And that's the clothes, and we must pray over it.
Yes.
Because that is the clothes that he's going to wear when he comes home. But little did we know, we were packing his bag to go to his eternal home.
Yes.
And I can assuredly say that he is truly home with God.
Yeah.
And his last few months leading up to the time that he transcended, that last few months, he just got his relationship with God. He just went deeper with his relationship with God. He was one of the very dynamic preachers in our church.
Mm.
He was very young and he was just dynamic for God. On my TikTok page, there's still a few clips of him being so dynamic for God. And I remember this one clip that he said that you must push your chest out, and he said you must put on your crown, and then you must move, and you must rise up, and you must move for God. And I still hear that the times that I'm feeling so down,
then
I can still hear him telling me, Mommy, push your chest out.
Mm.
Put on your crown. Rise up and move for God. And even up until today, I was so nervous to just come and speak. But I can actually hear him cheering me on. And telling me, Mommy, it's fine.
Yes.
I'm fine where I am. And losing a child, sure. That was one of the things that I always said I never want to experience.
Yes.
Because when I see the people that loses a child, some of them never recover.
Yes.
And I always had that fear of losing a child. Mm. And then it happened. But God has been so faithful.
Amen.
God has been so faithful. One night, I don't know if you can relate with what I'm going to say now, but grief mostly takes you in the morning and mostly at night.
Yes.
So the first thing that you wake up and you open your eyes and you realize that person, it's not a dream.
Mm.
That person is never coming back. So then it takes you and it hits you the hardest. At night when you go sleep and the house is quiet and everything is quiet, then it hits you also.
Yes.
So then you realize, oh my word, am I going to sleep now with someone in the house that's not going to be here anymore? And I remember this one night, I was crying before God and I said, God, why? Why? He was still so young. Mm. He had so much to live for. He started his first year in college. He had so much to live for. And I asked God, why? And I got this word, and this word is euphoria. And it's not a word that we use daily. And me being the inquisitive person that I am, I went on Google and I searched for for the word. And the word means an over-the-top happiness, well-being. And I said, God, that's not my state now. My emotional state, I'm not over-the-top, I'm not happy. And it's almost like Jalen was telling me, no, Mommy, that's what I'm feeling now.
Yes.
That is what I'm experiencing. I'm experiencing such a happiness and over-the-top happiness. It is well with me where I am. And every time when I want to go into this depression or this state of sadness, then that word comes up, euphoria. Yeah. Mommy, I don't want you to be sad because I'm loving my euphoria. I am where you also going to come to one day. And it's almost like he's telling me that when we see each other the next time, it's going to be forever.
Yes.
So Weeping may endure for the night, but our joy is going to come
in the morning.
In the morning, that glad morning when this time is over, we're going to be reunited. And I love for that day. I love for that day when the final trumpet is going to sound and we're going to meet each other on the clouds. Or even if I don't see that moment, when my time is up here, then yes, I'm also going to see him.
Yeah,
so I love for that moment.
Yeah.
So that's basically in a nutshell
what happened.
Yeah,
thank you so much for sharing. And I know that it is so difficult to, you know, to just to share, and sometimes for me it's also still even if it's been such a long time, you know, it's some days it feels like it just happened. And as you were just saying that, yeah, the things, it's in the morning or at night.
Yeah.
And I can also still remember that week that we were in, every time that we, because it was very much the same, that the doctors had so much hope, yes, although there was internal bleeding and they couldn't do anything because it was between the skull and the brain, but there was nothing. But they gave him a lot of medication, and they said he was strong and he was young and fit and everything. Yeah. He was a lifesaver, and he was a nature child, you know. Yeah. And that, you know, he was going to make it. And then they said they're going to, they seduced him, but they're going to take him off and they're going to, you know, take the seduction, make it less, and wake him up. So we were like looking towards that day that they're going to wake him up, which was like towards the Thursday. And then the Wednesday when they called us in every morning, just that when they call you in, that feeling.
Sure.
You know, in your heart and in your stomach, and then on the Thursday they said, you know, there's nothing they can do. Unfortunately, they did a brain stamp and they declared him brain dead, and that we have to put off the machines. That the machines will have to be switched off. And you know what? If you also, that whole week was just about prayer. He was such a you know, he had such a beautiful heart, and he was also this child that everyone loved.
Yes.
And every night when we would go to the hospital, that whole passage was filled with young children, you know, from varsity and from the life-saving club, and sitting just there praying. And the night when the doctor said we had to put off the machines on the Friday morning. And that Thursday night, so we said, okay. So everybody came together. So we stayed in Cape Town, and that was in P. So we were at a guest house right on the beachfront. And then all the friends came to the guest house, and they said, okay, we're going to pray throughout the night. So tomorrow morning when you put off the machines, when they're going to put off the machines, he's going to pull through. And there were going to be an all-night prayer. And I still remember the time. It was so difficult, you know. And that was, for me, was I couldn't pray, really. I prayed, but the only prayer that I could pray was, Lord, let your will be done.
Yes.
Lord, let your will be done. I was so scared of, I'm going to pray and it's not, and something is going to happen, and it's going to not be according to God's will, and, you know, he's going to pass on, that I'm going to be so disappointed, and I'm going to turn my back on God. And I was so scared for that the only thing that I could truly pray was, Lord, let your will be done. And, you know, also with me, my daughter, she was in grade 12 at the time, and we had the two little ones, and they didn't want me to cry. They said, Mama, you can't cry, because if you cry, then you don't believe.
Wow.
Then your faith is down. And if your faith is going to be down, then where's their hope going to be? Because then it's going to be like, I don't have enough faith. And being because my husband is not in ministry, but being the spiritual, leader, such looking up. So I had to put everything in a little box, I would say. And it was, you know, when this happened on a Thursday night, we got there and they said, okay, he's going to die actually medically. Because the brain, the swelling was too much, and it's going to be 1 hour. It's going to go through when it, you know, it suppresses the small brain and then cuts off all the vitals. And so for me, that was an answer to my prayer on the one hand. Because
yes.
My husband didn't want to put off the machines. He was like, we're not going to do it. And I was like, we have to do it to give God the chance to show us what he's going to, what is his will, you know. Yes. And so God just answered that part of the prayer. And then we were all there, the family. And God, yeah, and you know, he died medically. But I can still remember when after everything and the machines went off and the heartbeat, he came back again.
Wow.
And it was like so amazing. And we were shouting and we were like cheering him on. And we said, Stefan, come, you're going to make it, you're going to make it.
Wow.
And it was like God gave him back to us. But it was only for about 5 minutes.
Wow.
And then we knew. He said, I want it. And I tried. But, you know, this is God's will that I have to go. And then he died and he passed on. And I don't know what's the right word even to use, but in any case. So when we got back to the guest house, all these young people were waiting for us, thinking that they're still going to pray through the night for the miracle. And you have to go back and tell them that, you know, it's all over. And we went back and we told them, and it was so amazing. When I on there was this white light in the waves, and it was like God was speaking to us. It was just in front of the guest house, and God was speaking to us, and he was just giving us the sign. And yeah, it was difficult. It was very, very difficult. Yeah. It was not easy. You know, I would get. I can remember one night I had such an anxiety attack when we came back afterwards and I was back at work again that I had to phone the doctor and I thought I was getting a heart attack.
Oh,
and
no
he had to talk me through it because he knew it was actually just and the anxiety for the night, you know. So all of that, you know, that came through. And that is exactly, you know, what I want to share today is that when you still have children, you know, when you lose a child and you still have children, it's so difficult to actually cope because many parents that have lost a son or a daughter, they report this feeling that they can only exist and there's no motion or need, you know, for them to even carry on because they are just existing because of this pain, this numbness, that a feeling that sometimes persists for many years, months and even years, that people can't get out of it.
Yeah.
And understanding, you know, that numbness and that I'm actually just existing because I'm still a mother.
Yeah.
And I need to carry on, and I still have children that is with me now. Although I have so much pain for this child that I've just lost, that, you know, you can't even do the daily things.
Yes.
It feels like you can't keep on. You can't put your one foot in front of that. You just want to, you know, you want to fall into that pit of depression.
Yes.
And you actually just want to stay there, and they must just leave you.
Yeah.
And at the time, I can still remember, I had a just amazing boss and that came to me and she spoke to me because I just would crack up. I did quite a lot of public speaking that my job required.
Yes.
And I would get onto the stage and I couldn't do it.
Wow.
I would cry, you know. And she came and she said, you know what? You still have children. You are actually busy dying.
Wow.
And they still need you. You need to take time off and you need to actually find yourself.
Yes.
And I can still remember that day when she spoke to me, I realized that that's the truth.
Sure.
You know, the truth was that I am actually busy dying.
Yes.
Because my soul on the inside is dying. Although I am existing and I am actually, you know, and I also want to speak at the same time for my husband, because yes. I think with a husband and a wife, it is also so difficult, that yes. conversation, yeah. to have that conversation, because he's not speaking and I'm not, you don't know how to deal with yes. it, actually, even as a couple. And that's a complete different topic yes. To actually talk, you know, through that. But it was at that time when it was, I had to like really say, God, you need to help me.
Yes.
And you need to help me through this. And that is with bereaved parents, that they say they lose a part of themselves.
Yes.
It feels like they are losing a part of themselves. And it's difficult to say, you know, how long people should grieve.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say how long. You must grieve. And,
yeah.
can't say, and we can't say to anyone, any parent. But what I can say is that was the best advice that I got at the time from yes. this boss, this ex-boss of mine, that spoke to me in a bit of a harsh way, that helped me over that die gat.
Ja,
daar was so 'n ja, groot gat wat jy ja, voel jy gaan net in daai gat val
in, ja.
En jy gaan dieper ja. In en jy gaan nie daar kan uitkom nie.
Ja.
Wat soos half vir my aan my hand gevat het
wow.
en uitgeruk het uit daai gat uit.
Wow.
En ek dink dit is wat dit moeilik maak
ja.
Is om vir my om die advies te kan probeer gee, of selfs counseling,
yeah.
want ek glo God het my geroep en my deur dit gesit, juist om counseling te kan gee vir ander mamas.
Yeah.
Maar om te kan sê, dis hoe jy moet dink, dis hoe jy moet voel, dis hoe jy dit moet hanteer, want dit is vir ons elkeen so verskillend.
Dis reg, ja.
En dit is, wat vir my makkeliker is, is vir jou moeiliker, en wat vir yeah. jou moeiliker is, is vir my makkeliker.
Ja. Yeah.
En ja, ek weet nie wat sou jy graag daarby wil aan, jy weet, aanlas. Ja.
Ek onthou toe my seun afgesterf het, het 'n vriend van my gevra om net met iemand te praat, want daardie persoon het ook haar seun verloor,
ja.
net 'n paar daarvoor dit. En my advies aan haar was gewees, take it one day at a time.
Yeah.
Don't rush yourself.
Yeah.
If you wake up the morning and you don't feel like getting out of bed, or you don't feel like being in companies of people, and you don't
yes.
feel like communicating, or you don't feel like replying to any messages, then take your time off. Vat het een dag op 'n slag. And tomorrow, if you feel better and you want to dress up and you want to go out, and you shouldn't feel guilty doing that too.
Yes.
So take it one day at a time. And that was what I did. If I didn't want to step out of my room that specific day, or if I don't want my mother them to see me in the state that I was, because remember, it's more difficult in the morning.
Yes.
So if I don't want my mother them to see me in the state that I'm in, then I would take my time. I would close my room's door, and that is where I would be for the whole morning until I feel up to it to face the world,
yes.
until I feel up to it to reply to my messages and stuff. So my husband is one of my biggest supporters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just love that man. He was, for my, hy sê altyd, ek is die sterk een.
Yeah.
Maar ek dink deur die hele proses was hy die sterk
yeah.
een.
Yeah.
Because hy was die een wat vir my gesê het, ons het nog ander kinders.
Yeah.
Ons moet konsentreer op die ander kinders wat oor is. And sometimes you find yourself mourning and you in such a deep, 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 deep mourning, and your mourning process feels forever. And one thing that I've decided is that I'm not going to rush this process. And one day I was looking in the mirror and I could see that I've aged 10 years
yeah.
from just mourning, from being in the state of either depression or being in a state of my heart was, it felt, het gevoel soos iemand my hart in stukkies opgebreek het. And even up until this day, I cannot say that I'm the same person that I was before he left.
Yes.
I just learned to live with the loss.
Yeah.
I've just, ek is nou a different mens. It's almost like your heart was broken and now it's being put together, but it's not like it was. Mm-hmm. So it's that makes you a different person. Yes. Now. Some people, sommige mense gaan die ander kant toe, and some people change for the better.
Yes.
And I can definitely say that I'm stronger, I'm wiser, and I'm better now than what I was. Because I've got, as amper soos a nuwe gedeelte in my heart het sagter geword.
Yeah.
Because now I know how another mother feels. Yes. That lost someone.
Yes.
So now I can, nou kan ek net sê, my innige meegevoel nie, en het die bedoel nie. I know what I'm talking about. Yes. Now. So when I do tell you my deepest sympathy, I know it's coming from a place where I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
En soos ek sê, ek het in die spieël gekyk en ek was 10 jaar ouer. And I told myself, no, you cannot go through life. Yes. Like this. This and my son that's not here with us anymore. He was the one that would always tell me, oh, he always used to call me Mamzo. Mamzo, you're looking beautiful today.
Yeah.
Or he would say, are you crazy to look so beautiful? And I was thinking, I sal nie nou op die oomblik van my so sê nie, want kyk hoe lyk ek.
Yeah.
I don't look beautiful, I don't feel beautiful. Yeah. And I decided, no man, I need to pick myself up.
Yes.
I need to actually concentrate on me. I need to put some effort in.
Yeah.
Into me, because I was living in my pyjamas. Mm. I just wash myself and then I put on a clean pyjamas. Mm. And I would go to church on a Sunday morning and be in the house whole week and then go to church the next Sunday morning.
Yes.
That was my life.
Yeah.
And ek het so achteruit gegaan. Mm. And I told myself, no man. Till somebody told me a few weeks ago, someone looked at the photo that I posted on WhatsApp and that person told me, you know what, I didn't want to tell you, but it looks like you're getting your glow back.
Wow.
And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Yes. It's only through the grace of God.
Absolutely.
It's only through the grace of God. I'm not where I must be, but I'm not where I was.
Yes.
So it's a process.
Yes.
And as I said, I'm not rushing this process.
Yeah.
I'm taking it day by day.
Yes.
If tomorrow I'm again down in the dumps, I'm not going to enjoy that, but I'm going to love, I'm going to just go through that motion.
Yes.
And then the next day, if I'm the happiest person alive, I'm going to go through that motion too. So this is my process. So I'm going through my process with God. And there's many a times, wanneer ek vir die Here sê, Here, ek is baie swak vandag.
Mm.
O Here, ek is baie swak vandag. Ek voel ek kan het vandag weer maakie. Maar vandag sit ek my swakke hand in u sterke hand.
Yeah.
En lei u my vandag. So before I know it, the day is over and I made it.
Yes.
And through the day, everything changed.
Yes.
My perspective changed. My emotions changed.
Yes.
And then it all depends on how you want to see things. If you change one day we were in a men's conference and Pastor Vincent, he mentioned that you must change your perspective.
Yeah.
You can say that you can forever be in that self-pity stage. And say, yeah, maar jylle het nie verloor wat ek verloor het nie. Jylle het nie deurgemaak wat ek deurgemaak het nie. And then you can remain in that stage that you are in. Or you can tell yourself that, I'm going to use this for God's glory.
Yes.
I'm going to come from this as a better person. Mm. I'm gonna rise out of this. And that was Jalen's message that he one time preached, and his message was rise up.
Yes.
Because he actually knew that we're going to be down and out. And he actually wants us to rise up. So it depends on how you see it. To me, my husband was the one that always scolds me through things. And he helps me through things. And he would put things into perspective for me.
Yes.
I think while he's doing it for me, he's doing it for himself also.
Yes.
Just to give perspective to him.
Yeah.
And then he would tell me, you know what, nobody's actually lost. Nobody dies. Nobody's ever gone.
No. Yeah.
Nobody's ever gone. And then he would tell me that klein bits and pieces is in sekere van ons kinders van Jalen.
Yeah.
Like the one, he would pull his face and then you would see Jalen immediately. Yeah. So he's not gone.
Yes.
And then the other one would do stuff that Jalen did. And then you would realize, yo, that like no nice Jalen. And then you would realize, but he's not gone.
Yeah.
And
that is so amazing. Yeah. You know, and I want to just jump in there because that is exactly also for us how we experienced it. You know, when Stefan passed on and I think, you know, just 2 years after that, a little bit longer after that, but then God, you know, changed our lives around as well. Yeah. And we adopted a little boy, and he was 1 day old, and now he's 17 already, going for 18.
Wow.
And you know, he's got so much. We adopted him,
yes,
but he got so much of Stefan in him that it is crazy.
Yeah.
The way when he sings in the shower, when he worships, then I hear Stefan. Now my other son, that's now 25, he was 3 at the time. He would say things and he would call me things that was exactly how Stefan would call me.
Wow.
And how he would And it was just, you know, it's exactly like that.
Wow.
That he is not gone, because we see so much of him in our other children coming through, even in our adopted children, that you can't understand it. It doesn't make sense, but that's how God is showing you.
Yes.
And just last year, it was so amazing. I had a dream, and in the dream, he actually came, Stefan came, and he kissed me, you know, and he came, and he just kissed me. Now, the one thing is, obviously, because when he passed away at the age of 18, that's always the image that we will have of him. Nothing. He will never be old in our eyes.
Yes.
I would always remember him like that.
Yes.
So, in the dream, And I woke up and I sat on my bed, just on the side of my bed. And I was still thinking through, you know, because it felt so real.
Yes.
It was like he was there, he kissed me. And I sat and I was just like thinking. And Michal, that was 3, he came, he's a lot. He looks like him, he acts like him, everything. He was busy dressing on his internship, and he was busy dressing, and he had his work pants on. He didn't put his shirt on yet. And he came into my room and he saw I was awake, and he came in, and the first thing that he did, he kissed me.
Wow.
And it was just like God made it so real that it was, you know, that kiss. So so there's so many things that God will, you know, that's part of our healing process.
Yes.
And we must just see it as our healing process.
Yes.
And just say thank you to God.
Yeah.
I want to play this song because we've been just chatting, and we're like, we if it's me, I will just keep on. And we want to read a few of the SMS, the WhatsApps as well. And if you didn't send us a WhatsApp, please send us a WhatsApp to the studio number. But I want to play this song to Firm Foundation of Cody Carnes, He Won't. It's such a beautiful song, and it's so true that when everything feels like everything is falling apart, you know, and there's chaos in your life, and there's chaos in your mind, there's chaos in your heart, that God is still the firm foundation.
Hallelujah.
And when God is your foundation, it's something my husband always said, and when people always ask us as well, when he always said, if God wasn't our foundation, we would have never made it as a family.
True.
Because that was the one thing that I always said.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I can handle anything and deal with anything, bankruptcy and da da da, but I would never be able to deal with that. And if we have to lose a child, and it was like it was a card has been ripped out and the whole thing collapsed. But the reality is that God was the foundation.
Amen.
And because He was the foundation, and to this day He is still our foundation. Doesn't matter in what state we are, our mind, our heart, our soul, whatever, our lives, if he is the foundation, we will make it through.
Amen.
Cody Khan's firm foundation, that he will never fail us. God will never fail us. That was, I've lost it. That was Cody Khan's with firm foundation. It's 12 minutes past five, and wow, what a beautiful time we're having here at the Harvest Table. Me and Cassandra Boysen, that is here with me in the studio, and we are just sitting here at the table that God has prepared for us, and we've welcomed everyone that want to sit at this table today with us. And already seated, if you just joined and maybe you just tuned in, you're tuned into CCFM 107.5. It's Pastor Marianne Prinsley, and we are having a wonderful time in the program. The last of the Harvest Table, the last session for the month, was part of our Women's Month celebration. And we've had some lovely things that we, sad things and things that we've been chatting about. We've had some laughter as well, and also just some chuckles as well. But it's just so good to be here in the studio. If you want to send a message to the WhatsApp line, it's 061-798-1075. Thank you for everyone that is sending in some messages to us, and we've read through it in the break now. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. Also, I had a few moms that shared their stories with us about, also the loss of a child, also just the loss of a husband and a loved one. We've also read through that. We just want to say thank you. And we will pray right at the end as well. One mom that said, how can she actually get through this? It's very, very, it's just, it was in March 2023, and it's still so raw. And it's so anal still. And we will pray at the end. We're going to pray for each and everyone. Yes, the relationship between a parent and their child and their children is among the most intense in life. And it's been said that coping with the death and loss of a child requires some of the most challenging work one will ever have to do. And how can you grieve over the death of a child? If you lose a child, and we were talking about it, it's so different. Each one of us needs to have our own time and grieving in our own way. We can't actually tell people how they should grieve. Because when we think about the relationship between a parent and a child, when we have a child and we give birth to a child that comes into life, and we are being appointed as the stewards over our children, a lot of parenting centers on providing and doing for children. It's about providing and doing things for children, even after they've grown up and left home. I think about my daughter that is 38 years old, and I mean, still there's still a lot of doing that I need to do for her as well. And even just being there, standing in the gap for her, even long after they've grown up and they left home. When you have a child, you lose a child, a child's death prevents you from carrying out your parenting role as you have imagined or as it's supposed to be. And that may give you that feeling, an overwhelming sense of failure for no longer being able to care for and protect your child, or duties that you expected to fulfill for many years. If I think about it, for a lot of the things that went through my mind is, your child, you have a baby, and then they go through all the phases of life. They go to school, you help them through school, they finish, they go to varsity, then they are supposed to, you're supposed to go to varsity, and then they're going to meet someone, fall in love, marry, have a wedding and, you know, and go through life and grandchildren, all of that. So when you lose a child, all of a sudden, all of those dreams and hopes are actually gone. The dreams and hopes that you had for maybe your for the graduation, you know, for their wedding day, for, you know, your grandchildren. So all of a sudden, all of those dreams and hopes are gone. And it can also feel like it has been stolen from you, because it is supposed to be part of, I would say, the blessings of life. And searching for meaning in a child's death, it's also essential to parents. It's essential that we actually also go through that process. We had to also search through that process. I think what was for us, what was amazing was afterwards when we packed up all his stuff, you know, all his things, adversity and whatever, we actually found a letter that he wrote that he didn't post it. So he wrote the letter and he just put it with his book. So we got it afterwards, we got this letter. And in this letter, he wrote a piece for each and everyone. He wrote a piece to me. Now, I was always the one that would motivate and encourage and, you know, teach my kids how to budget and how to do this if they want that in life, how they should put their goals out there and go for it. And my husband has just been the most amazing father and just, you know, cover up for them when they and just be with them and do things with them. And, you know, and he wrote a short piece to each and every one of us, like it was his goodbye. He didn't know it was, you know, that it was going to be like that. And he still wanted to come, and he said he's going to do a road trip and come and visit us. And he said it was so lovely to be there and having varsity life, but he said it was so good and sad at the same time. Because good because he enjoyed it, but it was so sad because he couldn't be with us every day and he couldn't see his little brothers growing up, and he was missing out. So when we got that, and then he also he wrote a song. He wrote lyrics to a song. We never really got the melody to the song, but he wrote a song that he left, for us as well. And that was the things that we were like holding on to, the little things like the video that you just said that you did, that he did on TikTok, you know, and that is something that you're holding on to that is encouraging you, because he's actually encouraging you and like motivating you and pushing you. And when you said, Cassandra, and you like, you looked at yourself in the mirror and thought, no, he's not going to like say, no, mama, jy is so mooi nou vandag, jy like say, nee, wat gaan aan? And so, you know, even like those little things would encourage you. I'm still saying to this day, I would still say, you know, like things that he would say and what he did. And that was the one thing for us that also worked for us as a family, was we never, ever put it aside. And we said, okay, no one can talk about it. We would, if it's his birthday, we still light a candle and we will, you know, like some people still throw parties and things like that. I mean, we don't do that, but it's a remembrance day, you know, because I think the day, it's usually the 2 days, it's the most difficult days, the birthday and the day when they actually left for heaven. And because that is the two anniversaries actually. And that's, we do that. We think, we talk, we as a family, and we share, we laugh, and about the things that we can remember, and we keep that memory alive. That even our little ones that we've adopted, like our little Caleb that's only 6 now, he knows his brother Stefan that's in heaven with Jesus. Never met him. He knows about him, and he can speak about him, and all our children. So we've done that. We said this is, he was part of our lives. He's always going to be a part of our lives. And we're going to always celebrate that. We are not going to, and talk about it. You know, frequently if we can, my husband, he still to this day, he took the song and he processed it, because my husband is also a very good worship leader. And he processed it, he put a melody to it, and he sings it very often. It was very difficult for him, but he sang it at his funeral. And he still, you know, when he sings it, I can see, you know, he still gets that sadness over him. And we, that's also okay, you know, because it's not like now we are like everything is now good and that is something of the past and we can't cry about it. No, that is also okay. It's also okay. My daughter, when she graduated, because he always said to her, you know, he's going to be there with her and celebrate everything with her. And, I mean, when she graduated, it was a sad day for her because she thought, you know, she missed him. We said, it's okay. It's okay. Because I think that's also important, is to also allow our other children to deal with their grief as well. And through that process of grief, to go through that. Because it is something that is not just personal. It is a family thing. And it impacts the entire family. And that is why it is good to talk about it. It's good to have those conversations. And even when the days when we are confused, you know, when we feel confused or we sometimes feel betrayed, you know, that we can also speak to God about that and say, God, I feel betrayed. And then God can come and he can give you, an answer. And I think one of the things for me afterwards that was so amazing was when God, you know, after Stefan passed and we adopted 4 children, that I didn't plan that, so now I have like a lot of children, and we adopted 4 children, was that also that it was for me, it was God saw something in the future, but he also knew we've got so much love for children, you know, we've got so much to give, and he wasn't filling us up or trying to, how would you say, he didn't replace it. He was just allowing us to be able to give this overflow of love that we have for children, to be able to give it to our children. And he planned everything. He planned it, which also helped us in the process, I think, in our journey. It made it easier for us to go through that process of grief, of giving, because then it was a baby. I mean, you also very similar. Now you have a baby. You need to obviously take care of that baby. And that was the process. It's part of the process, because God created each one of us in a unique way. He created me, created you in a unique way. And he also knew what we going to need at the time. And he worked it out, as you said earlier on, with a boy, you know. And I want you to also speak into that. Sometimes at the beginning it was difficult, and it did maybe affect my faith in a way that I can't say, yes, it was all wonderful, and it was, I mean, I was sad and I cried and I didn't understand it. And if I look at it, as you said earlier on, you're not the same person. So it changes you so much, because whatever God puts us through, whatever test, trial, tribulation, affliction he puts us through, there's something, he says, he always works it out for the better. And even this, because through this, God allowed this in our lives because he said, okay, and then I'm going to use you to speak into the lives of other women. That's maybe not so strong. That's not thinking, their faith is not so strong. That currently, like this message that we got, said, how will I ever get through it? I'm not going to get through it. And it's okay because there was a time that I also felt like that and I also thought like that. But today I can say I am where I am because of the grace of God. It changed me completely. I can see the actual, I can see the purpose in it. I can see the purpose of the pain. Because God uses our pain and turns it into our purpose so that we can actually help other women, help other mothers, pull them, take their hand, you know, and walk with them and journey with them and encourage them. And something God put on my heart many, many years ago is I actually wanted to do like an event and I wanted to invite people that lost someone, you know. And I wanted to bring all of them together and then had like a couple of speakers and just encourage and, you know, also sharing stories, different people that lost, because loss is a huge thing for us as humans that we can't always process. And then had like these candles that you actually don't, you know, you of where you light the candle and not just blow out the candle, but where you light the candle and where you like, this is a light in the dark world. Not because their light has been taken out in this earth, that it's gone, because it's still shining every single day. Their light is not out because they've left a legacy, an impact, a footprint, or something in the hearts of someone, even a little baby, left that footprint and that in the heart of the mom. So, what would you like to say to encourage moms out there, people out there, women, even just someone that lost someone? What would you like to just share?
I tend the and the flame and Jalen's saying was, the flame will never die. That was his saying. And I can truly see that his flame is still burning because he's still impacting from the other side. And I remember the day that he passed away. It was 12:30 on the 1st of June, 2023. And I remember it because something in me died at that moment. And when they called us in to come and see him, and we asked what was the time of death, it was 12:30. And 12:30 that same day, something inside me died. And losing a child is never easy. Losing anyone, for that matter. I lost my father in 2023, in 2021. I lost my son in 2023. So it was in a span of 2 years. So Jalen died the 1st of June, 2023. On the 2nd of June was my baby's first birthday. So we couldn't even celebrate my baby's first birthday because we were so, so, so sad. And this year, on the 2nd of June, I just decided to give my baby a second birthday and have a birthday party for him. Oh. Because it's so unfair that he wasn't celebrated on his first birthday. And so then I just decided I'm going to give him a second birthday. But one thing I really want to encourage a mother that lost a child, I would like to encourage you, and this was one of the scriptures that got me through this whole process, and it is John 13 verse 7. It says, Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later yes. you will understand. And we don't always understand when things happen at the moment because we don't want to understand.
Yes.
We don't want to understand. We don't want to know here that he's in a better place. We want him here.
Mm.
We don't want to hear that he's better off where he is. No, he's better off with us. So that is that in the human understanding, you would say that. But when I started realizing that God is in control and that God works out everything for our yes. good, for those who trust in him. And one thing that I can say is that I served God before I was a mother.
Yeah.
So my relationship with God goes deeper.
Mm.
And that is what kept me. And you just played the song now that Christ is my firm foundation. Yes. And that is where my foundation is God. My foundation is Christ.
Yes.
And if you don't have Christ, you're never going to make it. Mm-hmm. You're going to relive that moment daily. Mm-hmm. You're going to relive the day that your child translated. You're going to relive it and you're not going to grow. But if Christ is your foundation, he walks with you. He takes you through your process. You're never alone. He's the one that carries you. He's the one that helps you. And he's the one that brings you to understanding where you realize that this was the will of God.
Yes.
So I'm going to be okay with the will of God.
Yes.
I'm going to rest in the, not be okay, but I'm going to rest in the will of God.
Yeah.
And know that nothing happens to me that is not in the will of God.
Yeah.
And so this afternoon I want to encourage a mother out there by saying that on your own you will never be able to make it. But with God, all things are possible.
Yes.
With God, you can make it.
Yes.
With God, you can face any storm. So it's only with God that we will be able to make it. Amen.
Yes, amen, amen. You're tuned into CCFM 107.5 and this is the Harvest Table. If you've just tuned in with Pastor Mary Ann and Cassandra Boysen, that is here with me in the studio, and today we are talking about your loss, heaven's gain, the loss of a child. And we've just been sharing our stories and our testimonies and the process and just been digging deep a little bit today into this subject. We've got we've had a few WhatsApps that came in, and I just want to say thank you for everyone sending us the WhatsApps and also sharing their stories. We see it, we read it, and we are going to pray for you. And it's so true. It's with God that you can make it.
Amen.
If you don't have God in your life and you don't trust God with your life and you don't trust that he is in control, you just make it very, very difficult for yourself. And that is something that I also had to, through all the things that I went through in life and all the processes that I had to go through of different circumstances and things, the one thing that I had to let's say the revelation that I got was that I have to accept everything. Whatever comes my way, I need to accept it. And I need to just, because if I trust God, that God is my Abba Father, and he holds my life in the palm of his hand, then whatever is coming my way comes out of the palm of his hand.
Yes.
And he has a reason for that.
Yeah.
He has a reason for that, that it is, you know, that it was thrown my way. Because sometimes, yes, we make bad decisions. And it's because of our own bad decisions that things land up in our lap and we have to deal with it.
Yes.
But sometimes life throws things at you.
Yes.
And you have to deal with those curse balls. And then you can only do it through the strength of Christ that strengthens you. You can only do it with God. You can't do it on your own. And that was something that I had to, like, God, when I said, Lord, I give you my life. I surrender my entire life to you. Everything in it is yours. Then I'm taking everything. And I had to change my mindset of, if I live a spirit-filled life and my focus is to actually stay at the feet of Jesus, stay at the feet, have my ear, close to God's heart to hear his whispers and his heartbeat. And I stay tuned in. I rest in him and I wait for him to give me an answer. Then whatever it is supposed to be like that. And I have to just through the grace and the wisdom, I am strong enough to deal with it.
Amen.
And even, you know, with the situation that we were, you know, the topic that we were covering today with the loss of a child. Because that is very, very difficult. And yes. I had to get to that. That was something I wanted to say earlier on. That when, you know, with all our other children, God showed me, because all of them, from as babies, God showed me through them that we are only stewards.
Yes.
They are not, you know, hulle behoort nie aan ons en ons besit hulle nie.
Dis reg.
Hulle is nie ons eiendom nie. They belong to God.
Yes.
So we are only the vessel that God is using us. And he like, okay, I'm going to use this vessel. This is going to be the mother to that child and the father to that child.
Yes.
And then they come into this world and then God gives us the wisdom how to steward their lives and to raise them with a fear of the Lord, to raise them in the footsteps of Jesus. That's what we are supposed to do. As parents, a lot of people don't do it that way, but that is our job.
Mm.
But we don't own them. And if you then like, you have that mindset and like, okay, God, if you then decide that was the day that I didn't know that, I didn't expect it, but that was the day that you in his book wrote, that was the last day, then it was your decision.
Yes.
And I'm just so thankful that you gave me 18 years to steward, that I could invest in him for 18 years.
Yes.
And one day I'm going to get the reward of that.
Yes.
And that you were and God was pleased also. Because then I got double trouble. You know, like four afterwards. And it was like, I want you to steward these four lives as well that I'm giving you now.
Wow.
And I want you to raise them, you know, and invest in them and love them and everything. And then I like realized that I'm actually nothing. I'm a mother because God created me as a mother with a heart of a mother, with the capability to love only because of the love of God that he places in my heart, that I can love my children as much as I can, and that he is using me as part of my purpose on earth to be a small little part is to be a mother.
Yes.
And that is a privilege to be a mother. But if he decides, because the word of God says God gives and God takes. And then if you okay with that, then something changes on the inside. But it's a process.
Yes.
It didn't happen. It was the one day and the next day I'm thinking like this.
Yes.
No, it didn't happen like that. This is not 21 years later.
Wow.
Of a process upon a process upon a process upon a process. And that's what I just want to encourage the listeners today. I want to encourage you, whatever you're going through, doesn't matter what it is, whatever you're struggling with, just trust God. Trust him in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Trust his heart. Trust that he loves you, that he cares for you. I was thinking afterwards, you know, I'm like, I sat at the feet of Jesus the one day and I was just thinking about Stefan and my life and our life as a family. I'm like, Lord, thank you so much. You know, you actually spared him from, he never had a girlfriend.
Wow.
You spared him from that heartache.
Yes.
You know,
he'd
never experienced that.
Yeah.
He was our son and he was like just free in the evening. He went to varsity and then you know, the accident happened. But he had such, he lived to the fullest. He was, he was one of those children. I said, you're not going to surf when it's dark. Because I was worried that he might drown or you do this or that or whatever. We never had to worry about drinking and driving and things like that. But that was my main concern. You don't surf or you don't go and swim when it is dark.
Yes.
Not thinking that something like that can happen. But then I thought, you know, he actually never had to go through COVID.
Wow.
He never had to go through this. He never had to go through. Wow. He was never fired, you know, in his job. He never, none of that heartache. And I'm like, Lord, he's got a special place, actually. Because you decided that you're going to spare all of that.
Yes.
And maybe because he was so sensitive, he was so soft and, you know, had such a soft heart as well. And I want to tell you this story. So let's say before I was in full-time ministry and God changed me upside down, I could never wake up. I was always late for work. Never wake up in time. I was never a morning person. Now I'm like, wow, I can't tell you because God wakes me up.
Yes.
So I could never, I had to put like three alarm clocks and whatever.
Yeah.
So Stefan always had to, I then one day I said, you know, they said, maybe if your watch is like half an hour earlier, then I would be in time, you know.
Yes.
So one morning I woke up and I felt somebody is like by my arm, scratch, whatever. And I opened my eyes. I saw him sitting in front of the bed. His hands is underneath the blankets. Now he's trying to, he wants to take off my watch. But he's like struggling taking off the watch. And I'm like, Stefan, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he's like, oh, you caught me out now. He said, I wanted to take off your watch and I wanted to set it, you know, like half an hour earlier so you won't be in trouble. And then he would, in winter, he would wake up early and they would put on the fire in the fireplace. And then they'll wake me up and with my coffee and whatever. And then he'll massage my feet till it, and my fingers, pull my fingers and massage my fingers so my fingers can wake up and my feet can wake up so that I can walk. And he would, you know, he was so amazing. He would wait for me. And like, Mom, this and that. And he was always so excited about what I did and would congratulate me. And, you know, to this day, I remember those little things.
Yes.
And that is the things that I think in the days when you were really sad, you remember those.
Yes.
And then you think, I was so fortunate actually to have that.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful that even if it was for a short while, that I could experience that.
Wow.
And that's what I want to encourage the moms that have sent these messages to us today. That if you are like today, you're sitting listening to us and maybe you are sad and you're reliving, you know, the situation or what happened, that I want to encourage you to always just think, to also think about the good things, the laughter, the joy, and that your child would really want you to experience that because he or she is like in joy, like in euphoria, over the top happiness, supernatural of everything. I mean, how amazing is that?
Wow.
And they want us to also, if they could just tell us that and say, just enjoy.
Yeah.
Just have fun.
Yes.
Love. I'm okay.
Yeah.
I am okay. And yes, one day when we're going to be reunited, and that's why I don't want anything to come between me and God.
Amen.
Nothing. Because I don't want to miss that.
Yes.
I don't want to miss the opportunity to be reunited with my mom and my dad and with Stefan. And I don't want to. I don't want anything to maybe be a veil and you know, be a separation between me and God, because I'm also living for that day. I'm looking forward to that day. And I think, today I was also thinking to myself, why must, this is a heavy one that I have to do today. And when they asked me, I said, yes, and not knowing who was my guest going to be. And and then, you know, Rowan said to me that Cassandra's going to be my guest. He didn't tell me anything.
Yes.
And I said, okay, I'm not going to ask you, like, questions. I wanted to be today to be real, for the Holy Spirit to lead us. Just two women having a conversation.
Yes.
The difference is we're having it over the mic, over the radio, so that other women can also take some nuggets and take from our experience. Today we were not professional. We didn't do counseling. We were just sharing our hearts. Yes. That is what we did today. And I want to say thank you to you for coming in and sharing your heart today. And I know it was last night, the only conversation we had was we're going to pray into that. It's going to be difficult, but God is going to help us. He's going to give us the strength. And I can say God is faithful.
Amen.
I thought I was going to cry and you're going to cry and I don't know what I'm going to do. Now. This presenter can't cry and I'm like a chunk of barley.
Me too.
I'm telling you, my people in ministry know this pastor, she's a chunk of barley. And I'm like, Lord, today I can't cry. And yeah, God is so good and so faithful. And I just want to say thank you. And I just want to say to you that may God just, you know, He really... the balm of Gilead in every area of your heart where there's still that broken pieces, that He would just, you know, you would experience that. You would feel it in those days when you feel that sadness, you know, creeping over you and anniversaries coming up and things that God would really just fill you up and that you would be a blessing to other mothers and other women out there that is going through the first part and it's going through the sadness and don't know how they're going to get to the other side, because you know the only thing that we can say is swim. Some days you're going to drown, feel like you're drowning, but you're not going. You're going to come up again and just swim, and that you will be a blessing, and also in your ministry and your worship ministry, that God. I know the best, you know, it's so good to actually minister from the scars.
Mm.
When we minister from our scars, it's the best place to minister from. And that as you are singing and as you are worshiping, and that God would use your voice and you will use your anointing and He will use the pain and everything that you went through to just that anointing would flow and it would touch the hearts and the lives of the woman that you are ministering to.
Amen.
It has been an absolute pleasure having you and spending this 2 hours with you. It went so quickly. We still have 10 minutes left. We had it's broken, but God is our healer. Yeah, and thank you for the program. So we just want to say thank you to each and every listener that sent in their messages. Just for tuning in today and just spending this quality time with us. And I don't know if there's anything else you would like to say. And then I'm going to play out with two songs. I was looking at the one. The one was Casting Crowns, which was In the Hands of the Potter. I think every single day, we are still in the hands of the potter. Amen. And through whatever situation we go through, He will mold us and shape us into this perfect vase. Amen. And as you were saying, your heart was broken and broken pieces. It was put together again. It's not the same. But I just saw in my vision, prophetically, I saw this heart that has been put together into such a beautiful piece of art with gold, that gold glue.
Oh,
but through that gold glue, that pieces, there's still that light that can come through.
Oh,
and that is what God did. And through this, you know, of losing your child, that heart is now a masterpiece.
Wow.
It's a piece of art. And there's gold and light that's going to shine, not just your light, but His light also. And even the broken piece that we feel is not perfect, it is perfect in God's eyes. So I'm going to then play out with the hands in the hands of the potter. And then, of course, I need to also just put the song in. I saw it here. I want to just go back from Dumnasane. And then, of course, I need to play Ek is Veilig.
Wow.
And then that would be the second song that we would play out. Amen. I just want to, I'm going to give you a chance to maybe just pray. If you feel good with that, then you can pray. Then I'm going to play out with these two songs. And I just want to say thank you. And remember, tomorrow morning from 9 till 11, don't forget Grace Pat. I'm back in the studio this week. I've been in the studio 3 times. Wow, it was lovely. Wednesday night on Time to Decide, standing for Pastor Naomi today with Harvest Table, and tomorrow morning with Grace Pat. So same time, same place, as always on a Sunday morning. But we're going to pray now and then play out with our songs. Thank you so much. I will see you tomorrow morning.
Amen. Can I just read a psalm?
Yes.
This is the psalm that helped us through our process. It's in Psalm 20, and it says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." And this is my favorite scripture, and it says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, this evening we want to thank you. We want to praise you and we want to honor you because you are our God. You're such a good, good, good Father. En Hemelse Vader, Here, vanaand sê ons soos David gesê het, "Ek sal aan my oë op na die berge. Waar sal my help vandaan kom?" Heavenly God, we know that our help comes from you. We know that when we are in our distress and in our pain and in our suffering and in our loss and in our grieving, we know that our help comes from you. And Heavenly Father, there's those whose wounds are not that fresh anymore, Father, and those whose wounds are so fresh, Heavenly God, hallelujah, I pray that you will be with each and every one of us, dear God. I know that you are the mender of broken hearts. I know, Heavenly Father, that you are close to those who are broken, whose hearts are broken, who's contrite in their spirit, Heavenly Father. So I pray that you will be with each and every one of us, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Be the God that heals, dear God, our Jehovah Rapha. Will you come and heal every broken heart in the name of Jesus? I pray, Heavenly Father, for those, hallelujah, that's not bold enough to say how they feel, dear God. Help them to speak to you, hallelujah, in their times of trouble, in their times of sadness. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will have a relationship with you, dear God, where we can tell you everything, dear Lord. Hallelujah. I pray that you will be with us right now. Thank you for blessing us this afternoon. Thank you for giving us the strength, dear God. As Pastor said, that we thought that we're going to cry our eyes out this evening, Father, but you've given us the strength. You've been our helper. And this evening, we want to thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Please be with us, dear God, further as we wait on you, dear God. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be ready when it's our time to go, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to thank you and we want to honor you and we bless your most holy name. Thank you for everything, God. Amen.
Amen and amen. And I want to send you off with this scripture in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 5. Say, "May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. May God lead your hearts into full understanding Amen. And expression of His love. Hallelujah. Because when we know that God loves us so, so much, it will be easy for us and much easier journey for us Amen. To actually go through our healing process. Yes. May God bless you and Amen. Be with you, playing out with Casting Crowns in the hands of the potter and then with Ekkes Veilig van Dumasani. Thank you. Bye-bye.